And then what I want to do is just, I don't know, maybe 10 or 15 minutes, just a devotional thought. Wasn't sure where to go, but what I'm going to do is kind of build off of the Sunday school lessons from my class that we have now missed the past two Sundays, and I think there's some good information that'd be helpful for all of us and good reminders about the world in which we live. So we were last Sunday going to start a new section of our book that's entitled Sharing Jesus in a Post-Christian World. And just want to kind of build off of that quickly. Two thoughts with that. And these are actually the two lessons we would have had for our class. So sharing Jesus, sharing your faith in a world that is post-Christian. And two thoughts with that, going to build on just for just a quick minute. Number one, truth matters. And number two, Jesus matters. Now, let's go back and consider this really quick. A post-Christian world. Have you ever thought about what that means? I've heard of postmodernism, a society where nobody accepts absolute truth anymore. Everything is relative, and of course we are there in many ways in America. But post-Christian is a little bit of a different perspective on it that the author of these lessons is focusing on. So what I did is I went to the website called gotquestions.org. If you're not familiar with that, it is highly recommended for pretty much any question about religion, Christianity, theology. Very short articles, but very solid articles, and for the most part, I've always been in agreement with what I find there. And so I went to that website and looked up the idea of a post-Christian society, and I'm going to read you just a couple statements from that, and then we'll come back and look at these two main points. It's very difficult to define post-Christian, and from the website, I found this definition, and it's going to be a little bit wordy, but we'll unpack in just a second. A post-Christian society is historically based in Christian ideas and follows simplified Christian values, but it rejects the authority of Christianity and does not consider it the basis of either its ethics or its culture. Now, here's what that means. A post-Christian society, which is where we are, I believe, will selectively adhere to certain virtues and morals. Okay, there are certain things about a Christian worldview that people do like. But while they will hold to those values and certain morals, they will reject the truth of Christianity that makes those values possible. So here's the way I look at it. Think about the term post-Christian, so after Christian. It's almost like Christianity was here, now it's gone, and it's left behind some remnants and crumbs. Okay, that's where we are. So people like some of the morals, you know, don't murder, don't steal. Okay, people like some of the morals, but they reject Christianity, biblical Christianity, that is the foundation of those morals. So think about it this way. Put a piece of bread in a toaster, and depending on the type of toaster it is, your bread is toasted, you take it out, but you come back later and notice there's crumbs there from the toast. You know, maybe it's fallen out of the tray or out the bottom of the toaster, whatever it may be. So the toast was there, it's not there anymore, but there are still some crumbs. Okay, that's the way I think about a post-Christian society. Christianity was here. Our nation started. Judeo-Christian values, even if persons were not completely born again, truly believers, they still held to and supported and operated in the context of biblical Christianity. But now, that perspective and that conviction of Christianity as, you know, a religion, we'll use that word, that concept is gone, but we still like the crumbs left over. Okay, we still like some of the morals. Okay, that's post-Christian. Now, in that world, we're called to share Christ, to share the gospel. So, two points with this from our Sunday school book, and we'll just kind of use this today. Number one, truth matters in this post-Christian society. And number two, Jesus matters in this post-Christian society. So let me do this. You think about truth. Okay, truth matters. Let me say that truth does not depend on your opinion or your reasoning. It does not depend on my opinion or my reasoning. So where we're going to go super quick, the book of Proverbs is in a portion of the Old Testament known as wisdom literature. Okay, the book of Job, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, they are just known as wisdom literature. And the book of Proverbs in particular is all about wisdom. It's just nuggets of wisdom. Okay, how to apply truth to your daily living. Okay, that's what Proverbs does. Now, when you think about truth matters, we can't trust our own opinions and reasoning. We need a solid foundation for truth. Most of us, if we were honest with ourselves, we would say that one of the reasons we need wisdom is our own way of thinking is stinky. It is deceptive. In fact, it can be deadly because we, if we're left to our own devices, our own fallen nature, the way we think about things will almost never line up with biblical teaching. Truth matters. So in chapter 30 of the book of Proverbs, verses 5 and 6, just two verses, we think about this concept. Here's what the writer, the words of Agur, an individual, not exactly certain who he is, sharing these proverbs, but as he writes in this chapter, he says, every word of God is tested. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. But here's the warning. Do not add to his words, lest he reprove you and you be proved a liar. Now, why is that in this section of the lesson? It's here because truth matters. And the only source of truth has got to come from a God of truth. And that is his word of truth. Okay, the Bible makes it clear. Every word of God is tested, we read in verse 5. And the warning is, do not add to that. Now notice every single word of God. If you study theology when it comes to scripture, you'll come across two terms, verbal and plenary, when it comes to inspiration of scripture. Verbal means the actual words themselves are breathed out by God. Plenary means every single word is breathed out by God. So we, as people who hold to traditional, orthodox position with Scripture, we hold to a verbal, plenary inspiration of Scripture. Every word of God is true. Okay, that's what it says in verse 5. It also means if every word of His is true, then we can rely on His word. In other words, the Bible is sufficient. You've heard me say quite a number of times, in Mountain View, we hold to the inspiration of Scripture, the inerrancy of Scripture, the infallibility of Scripture, the authority of Scripture, and the sufficiency of Scripture. These are five key words when it comes to our perspective and position on Scripture. So, sharing Christ in a post-Christian world. Number one, truth matters. Now, number two, let me move to a different page here. The second point is that Jesus matters. And where we're going to turn with this is the book of Colossians. So if you want to turn there, you can. In the book of Colossians, and this is in chapter 1, here's the main point. Truth matters, Jesus matters, and what you find in Scripture, and by observing what we read about Jesus' life, He is God in the flesh. He did things and said things only God could do and only God could and should say. So what happened is early on in the church, you've got Paul writing to this church in Colossae. False teachers have come into the congregation. They're teaching that Jesus is inferior, that he is not equal to God the Father. And because of that, Paul has to address this false teaching. In chapter 1, verse 15, here's how Paul does it. Speaking of Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God, He is the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Now, what Paul is doing is defending what we call the deity of Christ. As the image of God, he is the exact representation and manifestation of God the Father. If you want to know what God is like, look to Jesus. Okay, that's kind of what Paul is saying. As firstborn over creation, he's first in priority. He's first in rank. He is over all that has been created. And Paul goes on to say, he in fact is the agent of creation. All things have been created by him. Now, John chapter 1, verse 3, really quickly, John says the same thing. All things came into being by him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Point is, Paul is trying to defend here the equality with God that Jesus has. He then says in verse 18, he is before, or he is also head of the body, the church. So he's in charge of the church, not PK, not the pastor, not the deacons. Jesus is in charge of the church. He is a beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself might come to have first place in everything. It was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, the fullness of deity, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. So Jesus matters. He is the ruler over all things. He is the authority over all things. You may recall, back in October, we set aside an entire Sunday to focus on the 1700th anniversary of the Council of Nicaea. We talked about what that was in the year 325. There was a teacher in particular named Arius, and he taught that Jesus was inferior, that he was a created being. And in that council, the church nailed down once and for all orthodox teaching that Jesus is co-equal and he coexists with God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. So the point is, Jesus matters. He is over all. In verse 21, 22, to finish up, and Paul says, although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. So here's the good news. Jesus matters. He is creator. He's over all. He also is the one who reconciles all things. He reconciles mankind with God the Father. So the only way to be brought back into fellowship with God is going to be through Jesus. Okay, here we go. Sharing Jesus, sharing Christ in a post-Christian world. There are crumbs of Christianity present. People do like the crumbs, but they do not like the essence of truth on which these crumbs are based. So in this world, we're called to share truth. We're called to share Christ. We remember two things. Truth does matter. Even though the world wants to make everything relative, there's no solid foundation, there's no absolute truth when it comes to issues of some of the ethics and morality. Truth matters. It's in God's Word. Number two, Jesus matters. He is the Creator. He is the Son of God. He is eternal. He is the reconciler of all things and all persons when it comes to that broken fellowship that mankind experiences in relation to the God who created. So those are two quick reminders for us on this very cold, windy, and icy morning. I hope it's encouraging to know that what we stand for is based on God's truth. May not always be easy, to take that stand. But at Mountain View Baptist Church, as long as I am here, we're going to do our best to hold fast to the truth of God's Word and also to take seriously our mandate to share Christ in this post-Christian world. May God help us to do that with wisdom and with love and with a backbone.